I would highly recommend if you have a Bible, if you're somehow or another can mark your page or bookmark your page. We're going to be in Colossians over the next 4 or 5 months. So that's I'll be preaching from different sections of Scripture. Obviously, we just began our study on Wednesday nights. I'd highly recommend that as well. Great study in the book of Colossians to the church there at Colossae. Lots of nuggets, lots of wisdom, lots of little important information, knowledge, advice, wisdom from God in the book of Colossians. And Paul does a great job encouraging them. So get there. I'll be there eventually as well. So Charles Swindoll tells a story of a 19th century agnostic by the name of Thomas Huxley. Huxley went all over the country, Scotland, England, Europe, went all over the world, came to America several times as a speaker. And in this particular case, he's in Dublin, Scotland. And he's going to catch a taxi there. They had these horse-drawn taxis. And so he is running late for a lecture. He's got to catch a train. And so he rushes to the man who is in charge, you know, the driver of the taxi. And he says, "Hurry up, man. Drive as fast as you can." He goes, "I'm in a hurry. I'm about to catch a train." And he doesn't even say that. He says, I'm running late. Drive as fast as you can." That's what he says. And he jumps in the taxi, and the guy, like, whoosh, you know, and just it whips the horses, and man, they take off at a furious pace. Huxley sits in the back, you know, kind of jolted around, closes his eyes, and kind of starts, you know, downloading and getting ready for what he's doing. And when he opens his eyes, he looks outside, and he realizes they're going in the opposite direction. And so he's thinking, "I never said," even though I messed that up, "I never said I'm going to the train station." So he yells at the driver and he says, "Do you know where you're going?" And the guy goes, "No, me lord, but I'm driving rather fast," you know? And I thought, that is so appropriate for who we are, you know, as a people. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. We live in a fast-paced world. We're just going and going and going. And so the question this morning is, do you know where you're going? I mean, I love the fact that Jim just said that, you know, that we sometimes lose sight of the goal, that it's eternity that we're focused on. But we have this fast-paced, kind of crazy world we live in, and sometimes we're just going, 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 going. And it's nice every once in a while to stop and go, okay, do I know where I'm going? You know, am I just living this or rushing through this world in a way that I don't quite understand what's really happening? Having a false belief or having a false religion is one of the things that Paul is going to talk to the Colossians about, all right, the Colossians, the church at Colossae. Going at 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction is still a bad thing to do, regardless of how fast you're going or how slow you're going. If you're going in the wrong direction, you're going in the wrong direction. So Paul is going to do a masterful job as we look at these beginning verses here in Colossians. He's going to do a great job reminding the Colossians what they've done well. He's going to tell them about the three pillars of faith. He's going to talk to them about how wonderful their reputation is, what they're known for. And then he's going to introduce some of the things that he's heard that are creeping into this particular church, these false beliefs and these false religions. And he wants to make sure that they don't go down the wrong path, and he certainly doesn't want them to go down the wrong path at breakneck speed. So he's going to start here in Colossians chapter 1 and give them some encouragement. Now, I'm going to be reading from, your Bibles are going to, I don't know, some of you have American Standard, some have Revised Standard, some have New International Version. I don't know if you have King James or not. I'm going to be reading, which I'm pretty convinced not one of you has this, because it's a translation that J.B. Phillips wrote. It's very similar to Eugene Peterson with The Message. These are very scholarly, incredible good guys, you know, not inspired by the Holy Spirit to rewrite the Bible, but they use a more modern approach, and I love J.B. Phillips in this particular translation and how he writes what he writes. And so it's on the board. You can follow along with your Bible as well. You're going to see different language, but I hope you'll get the gist of what he's saying. Paul, obviously the author. messenger of Jesus Christ by God's will, and Brother Timothy, who we've just spent all this time talking about, send this greeting to all faithful Christians at Colossae. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know by this letter that we here are constantly praying for you. And whenever we do, we thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because you believe in Christ Jesus and because you are showing true Christian love towards other Christians. We know that you're showing these qualities because you have grasped the hope reserved for you in heaven. The hope which first became yours when the truth was brought to you. It is, of course, part of the gospel itself, which is reached you as it spreads all over the world. Wherever that gospel goes, it produces Christian character. And I want to read that again. Wherever that gospel goes, the gospel, it produces Christian character and develops it. As we've just talked about, all these spiritual disciplines for the last 4 months and how important it is to develop Christian character, to develop into the very image of Christ. I mean, that's really, really important. I love the fact that he says how important the gospel is because in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is powerful, and it's good, and it's changing, and it creates this metamorphosis. And so going back, it says, wherever that gospel goes, it produces Christian character and develops it as it had done in as it has done in your own case. From the time you first heard and realized the amazing fact of God's grace. So he's saying to them, man, it is evident that you guys have figured this stuff out. You've grasped the gospel. It's changing you. You have an incredible faith because you have a belief in Christ Jesus. You're allowing this faith and this hope that you have in the future to develop love in you because you're loving other Christians. You're doing a great job. Paul's essentially saying, you're doing a great job at being Christ's body. I mean, it's very complimentary, the things that he's saying. They're praying to them because of their faith, hope, and love. These are the three pillars of the Christian faith, faith, hope, and love. I mean, you see it in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Because eventually faith will be realized, eventually hope is going to be realized, but until they are, love is that action or that result of our faith and our hope. We do what we do because of our faith, we do what we do because of our hope. And that is express love. I mean, we have our sign, you know, our desire as a congregation, and we talk about this all the time, where we do life together, where we do love together, where we do food together, where we do a lot of things together, because we're here for one another. But our mission statement is to inspire others to love. You know, love works. This is a place where love works, to inspire others to love. Because of that love, we're known as the people of God, just like the Colossians. Paul begins by saying, we know what you're known for, your faith, your hope, and your love. I mean, the message, again, different versions, but the message, which is Peterson's version, he says it like this, we keep getting reports on your steady, and there's that underlying word, of your steady faith in Christ our Jesus, and then the love, the word love, you continuously extend to all Christians. I love how he says this. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack. They're tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. It's the lifeline, right, that keeps us tied to God. It keeps us tied to our purpose, to our goal, which is to please the Lord. People often know what we're against before they know what we're for. Now, I don't know about you guys, that ticks me off. It just makes me mad all the way through. I don't want to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. I want to have a reputation of faith, hope, and love. I don't want to say, oh yeah, I go to the Open Door Church. And then oftentimes I don't say of Christ. I usually just say church because of Christ oftentimes gives people different thoughts. They think of different churches of Christ. And inevitably somebody says, oh, so who are you associated with? I said, well, of Church of Christ. Sometimes they do this. And I go, not that kind. You know, because what they say is, oh, aren't you the guys that don't believe in musical instruments? Aren't you the guys that don't speak in tongues? Aren't you the guys that think you're the only ones going to heaven? Is that what we're known for? Those things? I would love them to say, oh, aren't you the guys that love each other with full 100% hearts in tune with God? Aren't you the guys that have this great faith? Aren't you the guys that have this incredible hope in the Lord? That's kind of what Paul is saying to the church at Colossae. He's saying, your reputation precedes yourself. I haven't, apparently Paul has either been there once or has never been there. Epaphras is going to be mentioned, that he's the one that kind of began this congregation. And Paul's excited about going to the church, but he says to them, man, I'm excited to hear about you guys because of your reputation. Now, he is going to deal with some things that he's worried about, some things that are creeping in, some teachers that are coming in, some thoughts that are coming in. But I'll tell you, it's an exciting thing to think about. If we would be the people of God, when somebody hears about the Open Door Church, which I am proud to say that one of my friends, through Aaron and through David and through Scott and through some other of guys that know a little bit about us, said, I want to come visit your church one of these days. I heard that it's a church that really loves each other. And I was so excited to hear that. Because that's what we want to be known for, right? A church where we do love together and life together and food together and heart together and pray together and are together. And to me, that's just really, really, really powerful. So if we're not known for, and this is a secondary question, you know, what is the Open Door congregation known for, but more importantly, what are you known for? I mean, when somebody thinks about what it is that we are about, what are we known for personally? And that's a really important too. If it's not for our faith, it's not for our hope, it's not for our love, then we need to change that perception. I would absolutely love for people to say about Open Door, going back to the same verse, we keep getting reports on your steady faith in Christ, our Jesus, and the love that you continuously extend to all Christians, the lines of purpose, goals, focus, the lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack because they're tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. I love that illustration, the way that Peterson says that. But going back, as we've already read before, J.B. Phillips again says, We know that you are showing these qualities because, I'll remind you, I love the word therefore. You know, I was taught by my professor, I've said it 1,000 times since I've been here. There's a therefore there for a reason. What's it there for, right? And there's becauses there, and there's buts sometimes there, right? Just a 1T but. And so when you see the buts and you see the therefores and you see the becauses, it's always nice to look back a little bit. And he says, I recognize these things because you have grasped the hope reserved for you in heaven. That hope is a huge part of our life. That hope, which first became yours when the truth was brought to you, it is, of course, part of the gospel itself. We just read this, which has reached you as it spreads all over the world. Wherever that gospel goes, it produces Christian character. It develops it. It has done, as it has done in your own case, from the time you first heard and realized the amazing fact of God's grace. The truth, the truth is part of the gospel. It has to be, because Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So he's the truth. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, and so obviously the truth is part of the gospel. And that truth has changed the Colossians. They have a reputation for faith, hope, and love, and that's huge. Just kind of like this. You see ripe apples on a tree. You know, I don't know how many times we've taken teenagers on these long-distance drives, and we're driving through, and we see crops in the field, and we're like, what is that? And Karen's a little better at recognizing some of them than I am. Now, cotton is pretty easy to recognize when it's actually got cotton on it. You know, if it's just green, you're like, I think that's cotton. I mean, if we're in West Texas, we're pretty much sure it's going to be cotton. There's not a whole lot there that they can grow. But it's interesting, isn't it, when you drive by, like when we were going to California, when we're going to some of these other states, when we were in Florida at one point in time, I'm like, I think those are lemon trees. But anyway, there's lemons all over them. You're like, that's a lemon tree, you know. When I see oranges on the orange tree, it's oranges. You know, sometimes we pass by a field and there'd just be trees, and you could kind of, I'm like, I think that's an orange tree. And then you get to the next field where apparently it was a little older orchard, and the oranges are already starting to blossom. You're like, yeah, those are oranges. When you see a cluster of grapes, I mean, grapevines aren't difficult to figure out, but when you see that big cluster of grapes, you recognize the vine or you recognize the tree by its fruit. Paul is saying to the Colossians, I recognize you by your fruit. It's just a result of being tied into, your roots are deeply into this gospel. The power lies, the nurturing lies in the gospel, this news of Jesus Christ. And I recognize your faith and I recognize your hope. And it's obvious that you have the faith and hope because all of these cluster of virtues are blooming in your life. I recognize the fruit, and love is one of those big fruits. It's the grapefruit, you know, of fruits. Well, I guess watermelons would be the big one, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, the fruits are in, or are recognizable in their lives. Turn to Hebrews 11, because it all starts with faith. But Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter. And Hebrews 11 gives us a lot of illustrations of what faith looks like and the actions that follow the faith and the actions that follow the hope. And a lot of times it's love, but those actions and those deeds and that faith fruits are recognized. These cluster, again, a cluster of virtues are what people are going to see as our reputation goes before us. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith, this is one of the places in Scripture where faith is actually defined by a writer of the New Testament. Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we, say it with me, hope for. Look at that again. Faith means I put my full confidence in the things that I hope for. And so hope is crucial to my faith. Without hope, faith looks pretty bad. Without faith, hope doesn't necessarily make sense. And so you see people putting their hope or putting their faith in different places, but until those two are in tune with the gospel, they're going to be going at breakneck speeds in who knows what direction, and God may be the one saying, do you know where you're going? And they're like, I don't know, but I'm going really fast. I got this much figured out. And so faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith, and here's our word again, that won their reputation for the saints of old. Again, reputation. Why? And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. That's a powerful, powerful three verses. And then we look down the line a little bit and we see these things like, it was because of his faith that Abel made a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. See, it was because of his faith and a hope in the future that he did what he needed to do. We do what we do because of our faith and our hope. Look down a little further. It was because of his faith that Enoch was promised or promoted to the eternal world without experiencing death. It was because of his faith that Noah reverently constructed an ark. Faith and hope experience action. There's fruits as a result of our faith and our hope. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. So Paul does this masterful job, and we're just getting into the book. I'm just giving you the tidbits and the excitement of it all. I mean, I guess, is Kelly, are you teaching this one coming Wednesday? You're teaching this Wednesday. So Jim's going to just start getting into the book. I'm already through verse 14. I'm going to go back and preach other parts of it. But it's just incredible to me that these three pillars, well, that would be six, these three pillars, right? I gave you three. These three pillars are so crucial to the faith, and yet Paul is literally applauding them and saying, well done. You guys have done such a great job illustrating your faith, illustrating your hope. Actions speak louder than words, and your actions are incredible because of the love that you have for one another and the love that you're showing to other people. So he's excited about that. Turn to Colossians 1, 9 through 14. See, I told you I was going to get through verse 14, even though I will go back a few times. I don't know how far Jim will get, but there's so much good stuff here. So Paul says, for this reason. What reason? You read a verse, you got to go back a little bit. Verse 8 says, and Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras is saying, oh man, this Colossian group, love, 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 love. They've got love in the Spirit. They got love toward other people. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They love their neighbor as theirself. They're doing a great job. And Paul's like, so for this reason, what? The reason that you love the way you do, because of your faith, because of your hope, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. I mean, Paul's all about praying. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're praying that you keep doing what you're doing. And look what He says. I want you to be bearing fruit in every good work. See, it's just a result. When you start seeing this, it's just a complete patternistic looking thing within Scripture. I recognize your faith, I recognize your hope, and as a result, I can see your fruit. I see your reputation, I know what you're doing because of your love and because of your hope and because of your faith. So you're bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And He's going to say in the next couple chapters, you're going to need that endurance and you're going to need that patience, because you're about to experience some things that aren't going to be so good. Other congregations are already experiencing it. You're going to experience not only things from the Jews and from those who don't like you because of my name, Jesus' name, but you're going to experience some stuff from the Romans too. They're not going to like the things you do. So he says you need to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you're going to have great endurance and patience, and giving. And I love how that's always associated, this joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? I mean, we've been rescued from this kingdom of darkness and brought into a kingdom of light. And it's because of Christ. And because of the faith that you had and the hope that you have in those promises, that you're going to continue to love. And if you keep hanging in there and doing the things you're doing, you're going to have more endurance and more strength. So I think 2019 for Open Door is kind of the first sermon of 2019. And we're all about sometimes making New Year's resolutions. So I would like you to resolve, it's kind of the same word, resolve to think of your vision for this year. Not that, I mean, the elders and the leadership team, we got a vision for the congregation, but what's your vision? Where are you going in 2019? We need to open our eyes to the reality of hope. Because when we lose hope, I mean, when you hear about suicide, and we've had some people that we know within this congregation, within the last few weeks, who have lost people they know who have committed suicide, in almost every single case, it's because they have no hope. What am I living for? I don't have anything to live for anymore. And hope is what produces in us a desire to continue keeping on, keeping on. I love this quote from Max Anders in regards to understanding where we've been and where we're going. Here's what he writes. Without a memory of God, think about this for a second. Without a memory of God in the past, it would be foolish to have faith. I mean, you have no memory of God. Why would you have faith in God if you have no memory of that? Without the memory of God in the future, hope is impossible. Without faith and hope, love will never be a reality. Because love expresses itself through faith and through hope. And so those two pillars are crucial for this third pillar to show up. Because our love is expressed in not only love toward God, who we have faith in, and that we're hoping His promises are true, and we're going there someday, and we meet here on Sunday mornings where we do life together, we worship together as a church family, because we hope that one of these days we're going to go see God. And we hope that our lives can continue to grow in blessing and those things that we pray about a lot, but the reality is we're looking forward to something better. 2019 needs to be a year where we look out the window and answer that question. Do we know where we're going? I mean, if you can't answer that question, it doesn't really matter how fast you're going. It reminds me of I wasn't going to use this illustration, but I'm going to use it now, and now I'm going to mess myself up. Alice in Wonderland, Cheshire Cat? Do you remember that little scene where Alice comes up to the Cheshire Cat and says, "Excuse me, sir, can you help me to get to where I'm going?" And he says, "Well, it would kind of depend on where you're going." She goes, "Well, I guess it doesn't really matter." And he goes, "Well, then it doesn't really matter where I tell you to go, does it?" She doesn't know where she's going. I mean, that's an incredibly great illustration. "Sir, can you help me to get where I'm going?" "Well, where are you going?" "Anywhere would be fine." He's like, "Well, then it doesn't really matter which path you take, does it, if you don't know where you're going?" And that's where our world is. Our world is going down these paths that sometimes at breakneck speeds, and it's like, where are you going? What's the purpose of your life? What's the goal of your existence right now? Is it just to, you know, get to retirement? Is it just to get to the next paycheck? Is it just to, you know, get the kids out of the house? You know, sorry, your kids. You know, so I mean, what's the goal? You know, obviously there's more to it than that. So with God's help, we can certainly know our path, because His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so I just think that's so very important for 2019, that we pay attention to God's instruction. So want to remind you again, Colossians on Wednesday night. It's going to be a pretty powerful study. Great book. Excited that we're going to be going through it. So if there's something that we can do, we're going to create a full-time, I don't know how fast that will happen, but we would like to put our prayer board on the back and leave these cards, and continually to put cards maybe in the trays, the contribution tray that comes around, or put them in places for you to say, "Hey, I need you to be praying for me about this. I need you to be praying for somebody else." Take 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I'll make a bunch more of them up. Take them with you to your workplace, to your school or whatever, and say, "Hey, we're 2019. We're going to be a praying church." You know, maybe when they say open door and they see one church and go, "Aren't y'all the congregation that prays for everybody? What a great reputation that would be." But we're going to create a full-time board, and we're going to put those in the back, and you guys can take pictures of those and be praying for those during the week. I just think that'll be a powerful, powerful positive for 2019, something that we should be doing all the time anyway, but this is just another avenue by which we can do that. And so if there's something we can do for you, we're going to sing a song, and please let us know what we can be doing for you while we sing that song. So just come and let us know if you need something.